You're listening to Island Life on Waiheke Radio, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues. With me right now is Tanya Batt. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning, Chris.
And Tanya, I mean, we've had you in here before talking about stories. We've had you in here talking about bicycles, but now we're talking about animals and not eating them.
That's it. This coming Sunday is International World Animal Day, which is also the Saint's Day of St. Francis of Assisi, who was not only the patron saint of animals, but of the environment. And I think the two of them are kind of linked.
So, I mean, that feast, well, it's not really a feast of St. Francis, is it, of Assisi? It's more of a, I mean, what is that kind of the background? I mean, I know that you will know this stuff because you know every story that's going. How did St. Francis of Assisi, how did that come to be marked and recognised as, you know, one of the days which is recognised by the church?
I think it became, I was reading myself last night, I was doing a little painting of St. Francis, and I was thinking, yeah, how did he get kind of associated with animals? It's because he started preaching sermons to the animals and they responded to him. So I guess that's because he didn't have, as many saints do, rather tragic and graphic death. He died peacefully listening to scripture. So St. Francis, because he thought that animals were equal to human in terms of their receptivity to receiving the word of God and the Christian faith. Yeah.
And so was that the miracle that you need to become a saint, that the animals responded positively to the preaching?
I think really a sainthood is kind of bestowed on people, and I'm talking way out of my comfort zone here. I might be able to talk about bikes and stories and animals, but I'm not any expert on Christian faith. Is you become a saint because of the quality and the piousness of the life that you lead. Basically, he dedicated his life to God in a very humble way, and so in the end got the saint stamp.
Yep. So you, as well as that day, which is, you know, recognised as part of the church tomorrow, but you're also attached onto this is Animal Day. So is you kind of hitching a ride on this?
Or? Well, I think World Animal Day started in the 1930s, and at that time there was a growing awareness, you know, even that, you know, that's coming on to sort of, what, 80, 90 years ago, that animals in the wild were under threat, and already a number of animals had become extinct through loss of habitat and hunting. And so in the 1930s, World Animal Day, and I think they picked the 4th of October as St. Francis's Day, that is associated with animals as poignant, to raise awareness of what was happening to wild animals. But these days, World Animal Day is much more inclusive. It's basically a focus on animals and human relationship with animals, and animals in their own right all over the world, whether they be wild animals, people's pets, whether about factory farming, about how animals are treated in agriculture, in entertainment. So it's kind of an animal rights day, really.
Yeah, and I suppose there are a lot of different ways of coming at that, aren't there? I mean, you know, there are people who, say, are very concerned about, say, farming practice and welfare of animals in farming, but wouldn't advocate, you know, aren't advocating an end to farming. And then there are others, like, this is sitting within World Vegetarian Month, isn't it? So you've got lots of different angles coming into this.
Yeah, you know, I live out at the eco village where we kind of, you know, experience daily this kind of spectrum in terms of how people go about engaging philosophically with dilemma, really. And there's an environmental argument around not farming animals because of the CO2 that's produced. New Zealand's got a huge emission, of course, with the dairy industry that we have, and that's kind of a foundation in terms of our identity as a nation. So New Zealanders are quite defensive on the whole about their rights to eat meat and farm animals. Then you've got a physiological argument in terms of people who eat plant-based diets have much lower incidence of cancer and diabetes and obesity and heart disease. And then you've got a compassionate take on it, which is, you know, animals are other sentient beings. They have their own integrity. We as humans often have this sense of entitlement that everything on the planet's put there for our use. And I'm a kind of a big believer that you can't have action without consequence, really. And, you know, some people talk about that as kind of karmic, a karmic cycle. And I see a parallel between many of the things that we're suffering as humans in terms of the suffering that we inflict upon animals. And I think until we actually address how we treat other sentient beings on our planet and our relationship as being part of an environment, then the situation will continue to confound us.
So what will happen tomorrow in your event? So, I mean, is this a kind of a vegetarian evangelism, or is it?
I know. I'm not really very fond of that kind of evangelic, let's form a group and let's make ourselves, you know, let's set out into battle. And it's really easy to become like that around all kinds of issues. No, it's a celebration of animals tomorrow. So at 10:30, we're having animal ark stories, so stories about animals, to celebrate animals and our relationship with animals at the library. And that's open to all ages. Though it's school holidays, so we hope to see a good contingent of, you know, the 12 years and under. And we've a number of people on the island have baked for a cruelty-free cake stall, so vegan cooking to come along so you can try. And then we'll actually have a vegan taster workshop, so seeing how you can actually produce lots of delicious food. A lot of people think for some reason that a vegetarian or a vegan diet might be just like lettuce leaf after lettuce leaf after lettuce leaf, which couldn't be further from the truth. So this is a chance for adults to come along and to learn a few different recipes and have a taste, because there's no better way to get people on board with food than to giving them a taste of it. And we're going to have animal face painting. It all proceeds from the day, which is by Koha, so attendance to any of those events is simply by donation, will go to SAFE, which is New Zealand's animal rights organisation.
And so beyond tomorrow, what happens throughout the rest of the month? Are there other events planned?
Well, one of the things I'd quite like to do, and I know the new cafe down in Onirua, Little Frog, is right behind this, is but like talking to our cafes on the island about, you know, providing a regular vegan or vegetarian item on their menu. There's a great parable about the man with the beautiful cloak and the sun and the wind kind of basically say, well, let's see who can get the man's cloak first. And, of course, the wind blows and is tirade. And, of course, the man just pulls his cloak tighter around him. And the sun shines down with warmth and love. And the man eventually, because he's so hot, discards the cloak itself. And I think that's the way around any kind of qualitative change in our lives, really. I'm not really here to tell people that they're wrong and their choices are wrong, but rather to consider other choices as well. And so let's add that to our spectrum of food choices.
There does seem to be, though, doesn't there? I mean, some movement and perhaps wider acceptance of a diversity of dietary needs. You know, I mean, I think about, you know, the things to do in my day job. If we're doing catering, where we would regularly go, well, you know, we've got to have, you know, vegetarian, gluten-free, dairy-free. You know, you've got to have the whole gamut. And gone are the days where, you know, people would serve up and say, you know, this is the vegetarian option, and it's, oh yeah, it's got only got a little bit of ham in it.
Yeah, right. That's it. Yeah, that's right. You can pick the bits out. I guess, yeah, that's indicative of the way our culture and society are changing. I guess if we'd been brought up in India in a Hindu society, that would have always been part of our spectrum. But as our ideas and the people who form our society change, so do the opportunities that we have.
Excellent. Yeah, yeah. So 10:30 tomorrow, some good story. You're going to be telling some stories?
Oh, it'll be me. Yeah, yeah. That's right. Me and my inner animal.
Excellent. Yeah. So you got any particular favourites picked out for tomorrow?
I do. I'm a bit of a chicken lover. I've got an inner chicken. I can sing anything you ask me, particularly ABBA songs and chicken. And I've got a great chicken and cockroach story that is highly interactive and has got some funky dance moves in it. So, I'd like to see people down there to help me out with that. When you can't do storytelling by yourself.
Good stuff. So that's 10:30 at the library.
Yep.
Yep, which is opening time. So just line up outside two by two.
Two by two. That's right, for the animal ark.
Yes. Well, thanks very much, Tanya.
Thanks, Chris.
And I hope it goes well tomorrow.
Thank you.